بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receiver, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue our discussion on hastening towards doing good deeds. Mubadara ila al-khayr. And we had discussed this topic of which Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum had mentioned in one of his talks, that as far as the hereafter and doing good deeds is concerned, we should not procrastinate. The moment the urge comes into the heart to do any good act, to do any good deed, person wishes to give some sadaqah, he wishes to keep nafil roza, he wishes to recite some Quran Sharif, he wishes to make some dhikr, some tasbihat, he should not delay. And we discuss in detail that what will happen is, if he procrastinates, then shaitan will then mislead him, shaitan will make him feel lazy, and he will not get the chance and opportunity to do that good deed again. So once opportunity comes, person has the time, he has the ability, and there is a great tendency in his heart to do that action, he should not waste. And Allah has used the word in the Quran, wasari'u, and hasten. Then he has used the word sabiqu, vai, compete with one another, race with one another. Fastabiqu ila al-khairat. Person is urged to rush towards good and goodness and good deeds. Shaitan, he uses different type of schemes and ploys with different types of people. Here the person is a good person, he wants to do a good act, but shaitan will mislead him and entice him and lure him in such a way that will tell him, no, you can do it later on, there's no rush to do it now, it's only nafil. So what will happen? He will say to himself, yes, it's not necessary that I do it right now, and later on never ever comes. And that is why Mufti Taqi Sahib has mentioned this in great detail, that we have this short span of life. We do not know whether we will see the time and the chance again to do those actions which we have the ability to do now. Then if you recall, we discussed about Tabuk, the incident of Tabuk, when various Sahaba came with different contributions. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came with exactly half his belongings. Half his belongings. But we see the competition for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among the Sahaba. They had very clean, pure hearts. As far as dunya was concerned, you won't find the Sahaba competing with one another. Here was akhirat, to get Allah's pleasure, to get Allah and His Rasulullah's pleasure. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes with his entire belongings. Every single thing. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had said, I wish you could just give me this one day in exchange of all my good deeds. Then there was an old lady, Umm Ayman Baraka radiallahu ta'ala anha, who lived in Madina Munawwara. She was actually the female servant of the mother of Rasulullah Sayyidina Amina. And when Sayyidina Amina had passed on, then Ummu Ayman Baraka radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was elder than Rasulullah in age, she was from Abyssinia. But she had a lot of compassion and care for, and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like her own child. And she escorted him very easily back to Makkah after his mother passed away, the little young boy. Then she used to look after him. And Rasulullah SAW loved her so much, he would call her and address her as Ya Umma Ba'da Ummi. After my mother's demise, you are my mother. And his entire life, he would go and visit her. Rasulullah would frequently visit Umm Ayman Baraka radiallahu ta'ala anha. And although he was a Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, great Nabi, greatest Nabi of Allah, he was a married man, he had children, grown up children. But still, Umm Ayman Baraka, when Rasulullah would come visit her,
Like how a mother treats a little young child and forces the child to eat some food, she'll make some food for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she would force him to come and eat. And Rasulullah to make her happy, he would eat whatever little she had prepared for him. So when Rasulullah left this world, Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala both went to visit Ummu Iman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala. Because this was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So both of them go. When they go, they sit by her, she begins to cry. So they console her. Don't worry. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is gone to a far better place than being here with us. He's now by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says, I'm not crying because I do not know that. But I'm crying because now there's no more wahi coming down. The days of wahi, قَدْ إِنْقَطَعَ الْوَحْيُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. There's no more wahi coming down from the skies. Those days are gone. How beautiful it used to be that Rasulullah is sitting with Sahaba and suddenly he's overwhelmed and beads of perspiration are rolling down his forehead and Rasulullah, it is as though he has just dozed off. He closes his eyes and suddenly he opens his eyes and he mentions the verses that are revealed to him via Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Different occasions, different verses would come. Sometimes an entire surah would come. Sometimes just one or two ayat would come. And how wonderful experiences Sahaba had with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when wahi would come down. You see, the days of wahi are gone. But nonetheless, these two Sahaba themselves, Sayyidina Abu Bakr is the Amir, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, they were elders. But they found it so important to still visit this old lady and to take care of us and check if she's okay. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in would compete with one another to go and gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the incident you had mentioned, where Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala heard of an old lady in Medina. She was blind, no person to look after her, or she had no family members. So he thought, let me go and see to her needs. So when he goes there early in the morning, he sees somebody had already come, and cleaned the entire house, and seen to the chores of the house. So the lady was blind, she didn't know who came. The next day, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu goes earlier. Still he finds somebody preceded him. The third day, he goes before Fajr. Enters, he hides behind the door. Shortly after that, he sees somebody coming in, entering, making salam, takes the broom, he starts to sweep. Sayyidina Umar peeps, and he sees none other than Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Sahaba did things with sincerity, with ikhlas, with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not brag about anything they did. Quietly he comes, he's Amirul Mu'mineen. He cleans the house of this blind old lady and he goes away. But look at the fervor that Sayyidina Umar has. He also wants to do something good. And he also looks for such chances, such opportunities where nobody else would have gone, but only to find that Sayyidina Abu Bakr preceded him. So like this, we had mentioned about Asbab-e-Rahat and Rahat. The means and the asbab means, sabab means the means of gaining comfort. Like we explained, the person has all the wealth in this world. But it's not necessary he should have been sukoon and in peace and comfort. One is asbab-i-rahat and the other one is rahat itself. So by having asbab, acquiring the means of rahat, does not necessarily guarantee you that you can get rahat. Also, we had discussed that the person who had a very big factory and a very big mill, the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali knew him, and he asked him, how many children you have? He said, I've got so many sons. One is in Indonesia, one is this country, one is that country. So he asked him, I'm sure they come quite often, you must be meeting them. He says, the last I saw my son was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, father didn't see the face of the son, son did not see the face of the father. He said, of what benefit is all that wealth in this world then? We continue, and inshallah we'll complete this mazmoon today. And I think it's very, very important that we discuss these topics because these pertain to us. The main theme of this entire mazmoon is not to procrastinate. Get the opportunity. You must go and do the good action with ikhlas And Allah Ta'ala, have hopes in Allah Ta'ala for rewarding us. You see, fitne ka zamana aane wala hai. The times of fitna, trials, tribulation, great challenges. In the hadith of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Rasulullah says, badiru bil a'mali fitanan. Hasten with good actions. One riwayat, badiru bil a'mali saliha. With good righteous deeds. Quickly do those righteous deeds before fitnas overcome you. Before great trials and tests overcome you. And how will these trials come? كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. Like dark pieces of the night. First a person is traveling, early part of the night, it's not so dark, but he can see some darkness coming in. And as the night grows, the darkness also grows, becomes more and more darker. Until it is late part of the night, it is extremely dark. So when a person is surrounded by darkness, wherever he is being only darkness, he is unable to see. He gains no direction. Now he becomes subdued by those challenges. To such an extent, that the hadith then goes on to say, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. In the morning, the person was a believer. He woke up with iman. But by the end of the day, he lost his iman. وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. In the evening, the man was a believer. But the entire night, as it passed, as it expired, by the morning, the person had turned a disbeliever. Why? Rasulullah says, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. The person actually sells his deen for a few pennies of this world, for some material possessions of this world. So as the Muftida Qisab explains the same hadith, he says, uska matlab ye hai ki jab andheri raat shuru hoti hai, aur uska ek hissa guzar jata hai, to uske baad aane wala dusra hissa bhi raat hi ka hissa hota hai, aur usme tariki aur barhti chali jati hai, aur phir teesre hisse mein andhera aur bar jata hai. Ab agar aadmi is intizar mein rahe ki abhi maghrib ka waqt hai, thodi si tariki hai, kuch waqt guzarne ke baad roshni ho jayegi, is waqt kaam karunga, to wo shakhs ahmaq hai. Person says, it's maghrib time, okay, it's not so dark now. I said, okay, but I'll just wait a little while, and later on I will go and do whatever I need to do. He says, this person is a fool. Why? Is waste ki ab jo waqt guzrega aur zyada tareeki ka waqt aayega. As the time is going to go on, it's going to become more and more darker. Lihada sarkare do alam sallallahu alaihi wasallam farma rahe hai ki agar tumhare dil mein ye khayal hai ki aur thoda sa waqt guzar jaye phir kaam shuru karunga, to yaad rakho ki aur waqt jo aane wala hai wo zyada tareeki wala hai. Aainda jo fitne aane wale hai wo bhi andheri raat ke tukron ki tarah hai ki har fitne ke baad bada fitna aane wala hai. He says, do not be a fool. There's a challenge, there's a trial, there's a tribulation that is coming. Don't think the next one is not going to be heavier. As the challenges, the trials come, each one becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. Therefore, when you have the opportunity, you have the time, you have the strength, you have the health, you have the means, then do the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you get caught up with more and more and more trials and tribulations. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned that the fitnas will come like heavy waves, one after the other, lashing out at the person. The first wave takes him off his feet in such a way that he feels, hadihi muhlikati, this wave is going to destroy me. And suddenly that wave disappears, and the second one comes, even more stronger than the first wave. He hardly even comes out of that wave when the third wave of fitna comes. May Allah Ta'ala save us. The hadith says, each wave that comes makes the fitna that came before it seem very light. Therefore, what Hazrat Muftida Qisab is saying, that do not waste. The hadith is telling us, badiru, badiru, what badiru, mubadara we're doing. Sari'u, badiru, to rush, to hasten. And I explained, don't, this hadith doesn't mean that the actual deed that we're doing, the salat for example, you don't rush through the salat, no. You rush towards the salat, then of course in a decent way with sakina, Sometimes some people drive in such a way because they get late for Jamaat, they don't care about the rest of the people who are driving on the road. That is incorrect. You don't just suddenly go on the and disobey the traffic signs because you are missing, you're getting late for your Salat. You should have been early for Salat. Yes, sometimes it happens, the person is pressed for time, something happened. But still, you don't start hooting at other people and just drive so wildly and just come into the masjid as though something happened outside. Rasulullah has mentioned, come into the masjid with sakina, in a calm, tranquil manner. So the actual deed, the Salat, you won't rush through it. But don't wait for Salat time, right for the last few seconds, then you go and rush and read your Salat. That is incorrect. So then the hadith explained about the person, subah ko mu'min uttata, aur jab karobar zindagi mein pahuncha, to fikr lagi hui thi, dunya jama karne ki, maal aur dhulat jama karne ki, aur is duran, maal hasil karne ka ek aisa mauka samne aya, jiske saath shart ye thi, ki deen chhor do. Deen choro, to tumhe dunya mil jayegi. Now he is busy in his work, in his occupation. And suddenly the test comes in such a way, that if you go ahead with this transaction, then you're going to gain a lot of dunya. But this transaction is full of riba. It's a riba transaction, interest, which is haram. Or it's such a transaction where you are deceiving the customer, or you're going to cause harm to somebody else. So the transaction is not a shari'i transaction. It is haram in shariat. But it's going to gain you millions or billions of rand. Now the person is faced with this dilemma or this situation. What do I do? So the hadith says, this person's iman becomes so weak that for the sake of dunya, he is prepared to sell his deen. Even if it means a person has to become a kafir just to gain some dunya, he's prepared to leave his iman. He's prepared to leave his iman just to gain the dunya. This is what Rasulullah has prophesied. Allah Ta'ala save us. Abhi tu jawan hai. Shaitan ka dhokha hai. As we explained before, what does Shaitan say? No, you're still young. So don't worry. As you grow older, then you can start reading namaz, then go for hajj, then you give zakat. Lihada, kis cheez ka intizar kar rahe ho? Agar nek amal karna hai, aur musalman ki tarah zinda rehna hai, to intizar kis cheez ka hai? Person wants to change his life, as we mentioned before. He wants to change his life. His life is full of turbulence and turmoil. There's no sukoon. He's restless, always anxious, parishan. He's not feeling comfortable. He's not happy. Now he makes up his mind, I want to change my life. So when that desire comes into the heart, now the person has to be firm. Now shaitan, the moment a person takes one step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the right direction, he's taking one step. Now shaitan is going to come with all his strength and all his forces and all his ploys to now take you away from that straight path. When a person was gambling, shaitan didn't worry about it. He's already misled. Person making zina, shaitan doesn't have to make so much of effort. But the moment the person is moving towards tawbah istighfar, now shaitan will come with waswasa, whisperings, insinuations. So what does shaitan say now? Jo amal karna hai, bas jaldi kar lo. This is what Mustafi Sahib says. If any amal you want to do, you want to change your life, so do it quickly. Ab hum sab apne apne gireban mein muh dal kar dekh le. This is, let us look at our own selves. Ki Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki ishaat par amal kar rahe hai ya nahi? Are we really acting on this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says, badiru bil amal? Hasten with good deeds. Rush before it becomes too late. Are we really doing this? Hamari dilon mein din raat ye khayal aata rehta hai ki acha ab nek amal karenge. Aur shaitan ye dhokha deta rehta hai ki abhi tu bahut umar pari hai, abhi tu jawan hai. So person says, yeah, I need to change my life. What happens? Immediately shaitan comes and tells you, you're still a young man, you're still a young girl. What you want to go into hijab for? You're so young. Why you want to go into parda now? Later on, you 50, 60 years, then you can go into parda. This is what shaitan will do. The boy wants to read his 5 times salat, he wants to come to the masjid, he wants to go in the path of Allah, whatever it is. Shaitan will say, no, you're still young. Enjoy yourself. See all the other youngsters, how they enjoy themselves. Why are you going to become like a big Sufi or Buzrub now? This is the dhokha of shaitan. Phir burhe honge, phir is waqt, us waqt nek aamal shuru kar denge. When you grow old, then you can start good deeds. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jo hakeem hai, aur hamari ragho se waqif hai, wo jante hai ki shaitan unko is tarah behkayega. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the shaitan will mislead us in this way. Isliye farma diya, jaldi jaldi nekiya kar lo. They quickly do all your good deeds. I mentioned one talk before that a person who in his good health or in his youth, he does good actions. When he grows old and he becomes very weak, he does not have the ability and the strength to do those good actions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still give him reward for doing good deeds, even though he does not get the tawfiq of doing the good deeds. Why? Because in his youth, and because whilst he had the strength, he utilized all his energy, his youth, his strength, his good health in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is so kind. Allah is a shakur. He appreciates our good deeds. So Allah knows that this insan that I created, he's gone old. He doesn't have the strength. If he had the strength, he would definitely have performed that amal that he was doing so regularly. So Allah will still reward the person. But on the contrary, if a person in his old youth did no good deeds, and his life is spent only in haram, now when he's very old, 70, 80 years old, now he doesn't have the strength, now he'll see, I wish I could do this and I wish I could do that. Now it's too late. So, Hazrat says, intizar mat karo, don't wait. Isliye ke kal aane wala fitna malum nahi. Tumhe kaha ponchayega. You do not know that fitna that will come tomorrow, where it will send you off to, where it will lead you to. Allah Ta'ala am sab ki hifazat farmaya, ameen. So he gives a remedy, a plan. Nafs ko behla kar aur dhokha dekar usse kaam lo. Nafs is trying to deceive us. So he says, what we must do, we must deceive the nafs now. What do you mean by this? He says, Hamare Hazrat Dr. Abul Hay sahab, qaddasallahu sirrahu, these were all giants, really. Hazrat Dr. Abul Hay, rahmatullahi alayhi, was a very senior khalifa of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi. And then after Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi passed away, there were so many other mashayikh, so many of his khulafa, Hazrat Aziz Hasan Mazdub rahmatullahi, Mufti Shafi sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. Now, Mufti Shafi sahab rahmatullahi has two sons, or his sons, Mufti Shafi, Mufti Taqi sahab, Mufti Rafi sahab, who are still living today. MashaAllah, they're doing such great work. Both of them, on the instruction of their father, Mufti Shafi sahab, they both took bayat to Dr. Abul Hay rahmatullahi. So Dr. Abul Hay rahmatullahi, you can imagine what his position must have been. So he says, nafs ko zara dhokha dekar usse kaam liya karo. Just give your nafs dhokha. Dhokha means you must deceive your nafs and get out some work from the nafs. You must pretend. And he explains what he means. Is apna waqia bayan farmaya ki rozana tahajjud parne ka maamool tha. Isse alhamdulillah I should read tahajjud every day. Akhir umar aur zawaf ke zamane mein, towards the end of my life, when he became very old and he was very weak, ek din, alhamdulillah tahajjud ke waqt jab aankh khuli, to tabiat mein bari susti aur kasal tha. He says, when he was one day quite old, his eyes opened tahajjud time, but he found himself being a bit lazy that day. He didn't have the strength, he was feeling very lazy. Dil mein khyaal aaya ki aaj tabiat bhi puri tarah theek nahi, I'm not feeling too good today. This thought came to his mind. Kasal bhi hai, I'm feeling a bit lazy. Probably the whole day was so busy, hardly slept. So now he's just resting, his eyes open tahajjud time. Aur umar bhi tumhari zyada hai. You're an old man. Tahajjud ki namaz koi farz wajib bhi nahi. Tahajjud not farz, not wajib. But you know, just relax. Aur aaj agar tahajjud chhod dunge, to kya ho jayega? If you miss one tahajjud tonight, what's there? What would you do? Not something so serious. Farmate hai ki maine socha ki baat to theek hai. Otherwise, his nafs is prompting him to this. These are the thoughts that are going through his mind. And he says to himself, yes, this is right. Tahajjud farz wajib bhi nahi hai. Tabiyat bhi theek nahi hai. Baki ye waqt Allah Ta'ala ki بارگاہ میں قبولیت کا وقت ہے. اٹ از دا ٹائم فار ایکسپٹنس آف دعاز. حدیث میں آتا ہے کہ جب رات کا ایک تہائی حصہ گزر جاتا ہے تو اللہ تعالیٰ کی خصوصی رحمتیں اہل زمین پر متوجہ ہوتی ہے. ویری امپورٹنٹ پوائنٹ دس کمز ان حدیث آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, وین ون تھرڈ آف دا نائٹ گوز پاس دین دس از اے اسپیشل ٹائم آف اللہ تعالیٰ مرسی ڈسینڈنگ. جب رات کا ایک تہائی حصہ گزر جاتا ہے تو اللہ تعالیٰ کی خصوصی رحمتیں اہل زمین پر متوجہ. اللہ تعالیٰ اسپیشل مرسی کمز آن ٹو دا پیپل آف دا ورلڈ. اور اللہ تعالیٰ کی طرف سے منادی پکارتا ہے, اللہ ہیز این اینجل ہو کالز آؤٹ کہ کوئی مغفرت مانگنے والا ہے کہ اس کی مغفرت کی جائے. از اینی پرسن ہو وانٹس ٹو بی فورگیون, اللہ از پریپیئرڈ ٹو فورگیو دا پرسن. ایسے وقت کو بیکار گزارنا بھی ٹھیک نہیں ہے. سو مفتی ڈاکٹر عبدالحی صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ سیز ٹو ہمسیلف دیٹ دس تھاٹ کیم اٹس اے ٹائم فار دعاز بینگ مقبول, سو آئی شوڈنٹ جسٹ ویسٹ دس ٹائم. آئی ایم مائی آئز ہیو اوپنڈ, نفس کو بہلا دیا کہ اچھا ایسا کرو. سو ناؤ ہی از ناؤ پلئنگ اے گیم ود ہز نفس. وٹ از ہی سے ٹو ہز نفس؟ اچھا ایسا کرو, واٹ یو ڈو, اٹھ کر بیٹھ جاؤ. ڈونٹ گو پھر تہجد نماز, بٹ جسٹ سٹ اپ آن یور بیڈ, بیٹھ جاؤ اور بیٹھ کر تھوڑی سی دعا کر لو. جسٹ میک اٹ لبر آف دعا. یو نیڈ دس, یو نیڈ دیٹ, میک دعا ٹو اللہ تعالیٰ. اٹس ٹائم فار ایکسپٹنس آف دعا. اور دعا کر کے سو جانا. مومنٹ یو فنش یور کوئک دعا, فائیو منٹس اینڈ یو کین سلیپ اوے. چنانچہ اٹھ کر بیٹھ گیا, سیٹ اپ, دعا کرنی شروع کر دی. دیز آر آل اہل اللہ. دی سٹارٹ میکنگ دعا, الحمد للہ, اللہم لک الحمد, پریزنگ اللہ, درود شریف, امیڈیٹلی دیز ورڈز, یا حیو یا قیوم. When she started making dua, dua karte karte, maine nafs se kaha ki mia, jab tum uth kar baith gaye to neend to tumhari chali gayi. Now he says to himself, are bhai, you woke up, you sat up, now your sleep is gone. Ab ghusl khane tak chale jao, just go just in the toilet or the bathroom, istinja wagaira se faareg ho jao and relieve yourself. Phir aaram se aakar let jana, please just go to the toilet, relieve yourself, come back and then you can relax nicely and you sleep away. پھر جب غسل خانے پہنچا اور یہ گوز دے اور سنجا وغیرہ سے فارغ ہو گیا تو سوچا کہ چلو وضو بھی کر لوں. So he goes to the toilet, to the washroom, relieved himself. Now he thinks, let me quickly make wudu. Now this is the game he's playing with his own nafs. Now once a person makes wudu, we know what happens. اس لیے کہ وضو کر کے دعا کرنے میں قبول کی توقع زیادہ ہے. This is the game he's playing with his nafs. Go make wudu and then make dua, because now there is more acceptance of your dua. You're making dua in the state of wudu. To socha ki chalo wuzu bhi kar lo, isliye ki wuzu karke dua karne mein qabul ki tawqqu zyada hai. Chunanchi wuzu kar liya, bistar par wapas aakar baith gaya aur dua shuru kar di. Made wudu, came back under the bed, made dua. Phir nafs ko behlaya ki bistar par baith kar kya dua ho rahi hai. دعا کرنے کی جو تمہاری جگہ ہے وہی جا کر دعا کر لو. میکنگ دعا آن دا بیڈ. یو راذر گو میک دعا وے یو شوڈ بی میکنگ دعا. دیٹ واز گوئنگ ٹو دا مصلی. اور نفس کو جائے نماز تک کھینچ لے گیا. سو دین ہی پلڈ ہم سیلف ٹو دا مصلی اور جا کر جلدی سے دو رکعت تہجد کی نیت باندھ لی. اینی ریت میٹ نیت آف ٹو رکعت تہجد. پھر فرمایا کہ اس نفس کو تھوڑا سا دھوکہ دے دے. This is what we have to do. We have to deceive our nafs. Nafs is trying to deceive us all the time. Now we must play games with our nafs also. And this is how a person, this is the plan he makes against his nafs. This is the tadbir. Jis tarah ye nafs tumhare saath nek kaam ko talane ka muamala karta hai, isi tarah tum bhi uske saath aisa hi muamala kya karo aur usko kinch kinch kar le jaya karo. Inshallah uski barkat se Allah tarah phir is amal ki taufeeq عطا فرما دیں گے. This is what a person should do. Then he says, اگر اس وقت سربراہ مملکت کا پیغام آ جائے. اسی ایک مرتبہ فرمایا کہ صبح فجر کی نماز کے بعد دو گھنٹے تک اپنی معمولات تلاوت ذکر اذکار تسبیح میں گزارتا ہوں. This is after فجر نماز. These بزرگ should wake up تہجد time. Their تہجد is not 5 minutes before expiry time. But even that is غنیمت واس. Tahajjud finishes of quite late nowadays, so there's all the chances of us reading at least two rakat tahajjud namaz. Tahajjud doesn't have to be read 12 o'clock in the night. We must see the time when Sari ends, that's the end, that's the expiry time of Tahajjud. So he sees, now these people after great, so many hours of Tahajjud, after that what is he engaged in? 2 hours of Ibadat after Fajr. After Tahajjud is Fajr, and after Fajr, 2 hours of Ibadat. Now Hazrat Arif Billah, Hazrat Munakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayh, already 1 week passed since he left this world. Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirat, Allah give him the highest of stages. He should keep on mentioning about Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullahi Alayh. He says in the jungle, as I said, I was a young boy, and I should sit with my sheikh in the jungle. And he says, practically most part of the night, Hazrat Munapul Puri Rahmatullah Alayh used to be engaged in Tahajjud Salat. He said, I was a little boy sitting behind my sheikh, whatever he should do, I should follow and observe him. There was hardly any food they had, sometimes extremely cold, so cold. Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Rahmatullahi Alayhi would take the water from a nearby stream or a well in the bottle, and he would hold that bottle and press it onto his own chest so that that water could come a little bit warm for his sheikh to make his wuzu for the Tahajjud Salat. These are sacrifices he used to make for his sheikh. So he says Hazrat Pulpuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi should make so many hours of Tahajjud. And then he used to make zikr of Allah, tilawat of Quran. And the kafiyat, I mean, he used to recite Quran, reading the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he used to recite in a very beautiful way. And after a few pages, suddenly he would see Allah, Allah, echoing the jungle. As I see, the steam the person gets when making so much of ibadat, if he let off that steam, and this is how he left off the steam, Allah. And after all that tahajjud and tilawat, after fajr, they don't go to sleep. There's no breakfast. He said, I should feel so hungry, young boy I was. But no, my sheikh not eating, I never used to eat. This is the mujahada they used to make. After that, is right till ishraq, and after ishraq also. So many hours, you see, munajat e maqbool, he should read. Qasida Burda hold, Qasida Burda, every single day, and so much of other ibadah they used to make. It reminds me of an incident we heard many times, Shah Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Ali, Dehlavi, that he made, Hazrat Thani Ram says, ke ghanto ki ibadat usne ki. So many hours of ibadat in the Jami Masjid in Delhi. So much of zikr and dua and azkar and tasbihat. Talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had real strong connection. After so much of ibadat, he comes out of the masjid, and it so happened when dog was going past. Hazrat Thani Ram has written this. He says, his eyes fell onto that dog. That noor that came out of his eyes, because of the ibadat that he was making, made that dog now the leader of all the dogs in the village. All the other dogs will follow that dog. That dog was like the boss. Hazrat Thani Ram says, so nice it would have been. So happened the dog went past. If one human being would have gone past, one insan, one mu'min, one believer, he would also become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back to Dr. Abdullahi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he says, the 2 hours after Fajr, beside Tahajjud and all, he says, ek din tabiyat mein kuch susti thi. One day I felt a bit tired. I wasn't feeling full of energy. Maine apne dil mein socha ki aaj to ye keh rahe ho ki tabiyat mein kasal hai, susti hai, utha nahi jata. Acha ye batao, agar koi shakhs is waqt, he says to himself, this time it's after Fajr, I'm tired, I can go back to sleep. But what if the Prime Minister, the President of the country, he is to send some person now to me. Pegham lekar aaye. Ke aapko koi inaam dene ke liye bulaya gaya hai, that the president or the prime minister of the country is calling you because he wishes to give you a very special gift, very special award. So he says, kya phir bhi susti baki rahegi? Will you still feel lazy or you'll jump out very quickly? Phir bhi ye kasal baki rahega? Nafs ne jawab diya ki nahi, is waqt to kasal aur susti baki nahi rahegi. balki dore dore jayenge. The person will run quickly to grab that prize. Why? The president of the country is giving me a reward or an award. So at that time, how can a person feel sleepy? Like Hazrat Ali Billah rahmatullahi mentioned, at the time of iftar, 1 minute left now. Just now iftar, you got your bhajia, samosa, everything in front. You got your deeds, you got your old dastar khan, alim, everything there. No matter how tired you are, and no matter how sick you are, iftar time your eyes are open wide, and you are wide awake, and you're waiting to hear that bismillah, so you can open your fast, and you can eat the samosa bhajia. Nobody says, no, I'm not eating because I'm very, very tired. And then he said, Muhtamim sahab of some madrasa, very tired, almost dozing off. Somebody comes with a nice bundle of money for his madrasa. That time the Muhtamim sahab principal goes sleep. He said, no, Ji, Hazrat, lao, bring it, come. If you don't understand that, probably we're not principals, but Allah Ta'ala keep us with istighna'iyat and not stretch our hands to any person. Allah always make our institutions run with Allah Ta'ala's father and karam. He said, if you can't understand this, then he said, a person gets married. First night, very beautiful wife you've got. He was very tired, whole week preparations, running here, there. Now on that night, no matter how tired he was holding, he's not going to sleep. That night he's wide awake. So for all these things we wide awake, when it comes to ibadah, taraweeh salat, Allah help us, Ramadan time, taraweeh will come and we look for the quickest taraweeh in town. Allah forgive us, really. It's a time where Allah is barakat, rahmat coming down. We are going to make some sacrifice. The taraweeh is going to be long. When you go Haramain Sharifain, how beautiful we can, whole night we can stand. Same thing, here we just want, every night we'll tell the Hafiz sahab, poor fellow will come out, hardly coming out, already people meet him. He'll think, mashallah, they're going to tell him, it's very nice today. But your second rakat was slower than the first rakat. Your sajda was too long. Your ruku also, I'm trying to make it faster. Now he doesn't know who to listen to because some others will say, bayurin, too fast, too slow. Now this is not the spirit that we should have of deen. Really, we should now be prepared to sacrifice little bit for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So already, Shaban has already commenced. Just now we see it's already Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of doing good a'mal and making us see these Mubarak days in good health with afiyat and barakat. And such a Ramadan it must be that it has become a turning point in our life. Each Ramadan we must become more and more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it says, Jannat ka sacha talabgar. Become a true seeker of Jannat. We talk about Jannat, we had a whole, how many weeks discourse on Jannat, the beauties of the ni'mat in Jannat, and the hurayn, and the palaces, and the castles, and the rivers, and the fruit, and the... But we must become a genuine seeker of Jannat. We must have that sincerity in our heart. And he says, there is in the same verse, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ. When one sahabi, he says, غَزْوَ Uhud, it was, غَزْوَ Uhud ke لَرَائِ ke duran, jabki maal ka gharam hai, musliman aur kafiru ke لَرَائِ hai, Huzur Akhtar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qiyadat farma rahe, musliman kam hai aur kafir ziyada hai. Muslims were less, they hardly had any means also. It was then when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one person come to him, he says, Ya Rasulullah, if I become shaheed, what do I get? Rasulullah said, you get such a jannat, that whose width is the distance between the sky and the earth. He says, such a big jannat. He was eating a few khajurs, few dates he had. Poor sahabi, few days just to get some type of nourishment. He said, such a jannat, I'll get. So he took the khajur and left it down. Somebody said, eat it, why are you not eating it? He said, no, by the time I eat and munch these few dates, two or three dates, إِنَّهُ لَحَيَاتٌ طَوِيلَةٌ. Oh, it's going to be a long time. I need the Jannat now. And he goes and he becomes Shaheed. So he was a genuine seeker of Jannat. Hazrat says, Adhan ki awaaz sunkar, Huzur Salasam ki halat. When we hear Adhan, nothing happens to us. We've got 15 minutes still. And the other masjid, another 5 minutes later it is. So we'll make it there. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, say, ek sahabi ne pucha, Ummul Mu'mineen. He said, oh mother, sarkari do alam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ghar ke bahar jo irshadat farmate hai, aur ghar ke bahar jisi zindagi guzarte hai, wo to hum sab ko pata hai. The life of Rasulullah outside his house, We all have observed. We all know what it is. Lekin ye batai, show us, ke ghar mein kya amal karte hai. Inside his house, what he used to do. Inke zehen mein ye hoga, ke ghar mein jaakar musalla bichate honge. Namaz aur dhikr, azkar, tasbih wagaira mein mashghool rehte hai. The sahabi thought that Rasulullah SAW comes inside the house, he must be thinking on his musalla and must be engaged only in ibadah, dhikr, tasbih, only whole time. Now this is a lesson for all of us. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala farmaya, ki jab aap ghar mein tashreef laate hai, to hamare saath, hamare ghar ke kaamon mein haath bhi batate hai. He says, when Rasulullah would come in the house, be busy in the kitchen, whatever work we're doing, Rasulullah would join us. If we're making rotis, he'll also help us to make some roti. This creates muhabbat between husband and wife. Rasulullah did not feel himself, I'm the Nabi of Allah, and everything must be ready for me. If there was no food, really, comes in a riwayat. Oh, Aisha, you've got anything? After Fajr, he'll come. She said, nothing. Take care, I'm keeping roza today. And then he says, or hamara dukh dard bhi sunte hai. Any pain we got, any complaints, Rasulullah would sit and listen to us. Hamare saath khush tabi ki baate bhi karte hai. And he would talk to us. He'd be light-hearted, make us feel nice. Hamare saath khule milte rehte. He would meet us nicely, happily. Albatta, ek baat hai. She says, yes, one thing. Jab azan ki awaz kaan mein padti hai, to is tarah utkar chale jaate hai, jis tarah hume pehchante bhi nahi. Azan should come. Then he would leave immediately as though he did not know who we were. As though we are strangers now. Why? Now he has to respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thought we'll finish this mazmoon. It's a bit long. The next, continuing from this, and the same topic is Ala darje ka sadaqah. Now, what is the best form of sadaqah? Just give the hadith and next, when we meet again, Allah give us tawfiq. Next Monday there won't be a majlis. The ijtima starts on Saturday, inshallah. It's a great opportunity for us. It's right on our doorstep. And we don't have to wait for Saturday. We can go from now also. After this program, people can go. And if you can't do any work, there's no problem. You can just go and see. People have read Surah Yasin, read Surah Baqarah for the hifaz of the ijtima. There's so much of atmosphere, mashallah. So the main time is Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We should try and make ourselves available, go to the ijtima and participate in the programs, whatever it is, inshallah, we will benefit. Doesn't happen, the ijtima comes and goes, and then we realize, how nice it was, and this we heard, and that we heard. So right here, we should not become losers, inshallah. So the next one he gives about sadaqah, where sahabi comes and asks, Ya Rasulullah, ayyu sadaqati a'zamu ajran. Which charity is most rewarding? Rasulullah said, Antasaddaqa. You must give sadaqa, wa anta sahihun shahihun. And you are in such a condition that you are healthy, you are strong, you are fit. Shahihun actually means, in this context, that you still desire some wealth. How? Taqsha al-faqra. That you fear that you can still become in need of money, you can become poor, and you still have hopes also of becoming rich. In other words, you have money, you are using your money for your necessities, but you are worried because if you give some money away in sadaqah, you might become poor. And also, mashallah, you've got a business, you are prosperous, so you have hopes of gaining more. But Rasulullah says, do not delay. Until when your ruh comes to your gullet, then you say, this money will go to that organization. This money to that person. This money to that. Then it's too late. The best sadaqah is when you give, when you're healthy, you are fit, not when you're sick now and you can't make use of that money, now you give it to somebody. Yourself, you are in need of them. Yes, Sharia doesn't tell you to give all the money you have. Rasulullah made it very clear, don't give all your wealth in charity and then you have to beg from people. Don't give all your wealth in charity and you leave nothing for your heirs. That's not correct. But then your heirs on your demise, they have to now become muhtaj and others. Leave them self-sufficient. But at the same time, the idea is that you must feel the pinch in your heart. When you're giving, you must feel a bit of a pinch. Person is a billionaire and he gives 1,000 rand in charity, compared to a person who only got 100 rand and he gives 10 rand. Now which charity is better? The one who gave 10 rand, the poor, 100 rand, he gave 10 rand. The other person from 1 billion rand, he gave 1,000 rand. So he doesn't feel the pinch. This poor fellow only got 100 rand, and now he's giving 10 rand. It's heavy on his nafs. So that is the idea, what is explained in this hadith, that you have the ability, and when you're going to give, you can feel the pinch in your heart. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.